Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
I have a question for you today. Are you ready to envision your harvest? Huh? Are you ready to envision all that God has for you? Well, if you are, you're in the right place. And if you're not, I hope you will be by the end of today's message. We're going to be talking about vision and the power of vision today. I've entitled this message in our series, Greater Harvest, Envision Your Harvest. And I defined envision or envisioning the act of imagining your vision. It's thinking about your vision. It's not just a picture that's stagnant, but it's like it's 3D, right? Video, you know, 4K or whatever the latest is, like the highest definition. That's what envisioning is. And we're going to talk about eventually the five benefits or powers of envisioning and the importance of it and what it is and what it can do and what God wants it to do in your life. As we'll see throughout the scriptures that God cares about vision. He operates through our vision and our abilities to envision. It's so important. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I had the privilege before we get into the scriptures, and if you want, we're going to go to Numbers, I think 22 is where we'll begin. But yesterday I had the opportunity to do be part of my first military retirement. So Eric Quetting, who is a lieutenant colonel, he was in our first service, he retired after 22 and a half years of service. And many of you know Eric. He's been deployed over the past 5 years. He's really been all over the world. It's absolutely amazing the things that I found out at this ceremony and celebration about him that I didn't know. And I knew a little bit. I've been golfing with him a bunch, but doesn't really talk about himself that much and his accomplishments. He's a humble man, but a well-accomplished person. He's a graduate of the Air Force Academy and has done incredible. It was a packed-out room where over 300 people. All the people I was running into were just like, I can't believe this many people are here. I can't believe this many people are here. And was really, really something. But in those moments, you know, of ceremony and celebration and honoring, I always get inspired. I always get inspired and to envision and how important envisioning is. In that moment, look, I could clearly see 22 years of just dedication and hard work that was recognized, and he didn't necessarily see when he began in the Air Force Academy 22 years. In fact, many that go to the Air Force Academy, it's five and out, right? It's like we do the academy, I get five, and we get out to get real money, right? And so, but while he was there, something significant happened. In his 5 years after the academy, 9/11 happened. And so he got a different vision to stay in, and he loved it, and to continue to serve this country. He was the first in his family born in America. He was born in Alaska, and all along the way, vision for the next phase helped him sacrifice. And it was powerful. And I was encouraged again and spurred to think of my life 22 years from now. And what will it look like? And you know, the more you can envision that, the more you can get a vision from God for that, the better chances you're going to have of that being accomplished. You know, God hasn't called us to live our lives by chance. He hasn't called us to just be fatalistic, to just go, well, wherever the wind blows you, that's where you're destined to go. No, God has plans. Yes, he does. That he wants you to seek him for. Yes. You know, so often I hear so many Christians like, just everything that happens to me is just the will of God. And like, no, it's not. I mean, here's the thing. There is a sovereign will of God in that whatever does happen, God's allowed it to happen. But in God's foreknowledge, it involves somehow our choices, right? And he has a plan. And his plan is for none to perish, but all to come to know him. That's his moral plan. That's what Jesus came to do, to die for all the sins of the world. But guess what? That's not going to be what happens to everyone. Because, not because it wasn't God's desire, but it was because God gave us free will. And so don't live fatalistic. Don't be like, well, just whatever happens, just I'll be happy with. No, no. He wants you to envision. He wants you to pursue him for a vision. And we've, you know, entitled, you know, this series and the 2022, A Greater Harvest. And the question that we're challenging one another is, what harvest do you want? You know, Jesus came to a blind man. And he said, what do you want? What do you want? Right? And he wasn't asking, what do you see with your natural eyes? Because he couldn't see. And that's not what God's asking you today. It's not what I'm asking you, is what can you see with your eyes today? What I'm asking and what I'm challenging you to is, what can you envision with your heart? What can you envision? That's the true gift. The greatest gift God, one of the greatest gift God's given to us is not our ability to see with our eyes, but our ability to imagine and envision with our hearts. See, our eyes say what is. Our heart and our vision says what could be. What could be. We're not denying what our eyes are showing us right now, but we're just fixing our vision, our hearts, on something else and what could be. Amen? And so that is my hope. No matter what vision you had coming in about yourself and your life and others, my hope every week is that you live with a greater vision, a clearer vision of how loved you are. Yeah, how loved you are, yes. How purposed your life is by God. This is our desire in our heart, to come and rally again, to remind ourselves not to fix our eyes on what is seen, but to see what is not seen. That's what faith is, right? And that's what we're called to do, as we're going to see. So, Numbers, was it 22? Was I right? Is that where we're at? No, 13, sorry. Numbers 13, verse 25 is where we'll begin. Of a story of 12 people who went in to the promised land, for God wanted them to see something that began with their eyes, but he wanted them to imagine. He wanted them to envision something different from the land that he promised to them, that he had promised to Abraham and to his descendants. And so the story continues in verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Parah and Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell on the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But men who had gone up with him said, "We are not to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were in their sight." Let me pause there at that last verse, because I think it's really important and an incredible law and principle. Before the giants, before the people that were in the promised land saw the Israelites as grasshoppers, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. You know, what people see many times is a reflection of what you see about yourself. See, they saw themselves like grasshoppers and then projected to the others, "Oh, they're grasshoppers." What you believe, what you envision about yourself is very important. Very, very important. And what you envision about yourself should come from how you envision your God and what He says about you.
Amen? Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for Jesus. Jesus, You are the Word.
Yes.
Bring the Word alive today. Give us fresh vision today, fresh revelation, fresh understanding, fresh motivation, fresh guidance today. Holy Spirit, move in us. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts that have been prepared through worship to receive the Word, to receive revelation, to envision what You envision. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way and let the Word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Caleb, Joshua, the two good spies, and then the 10 bad spies. They all saw the same thing with their natural eyes, but they had envisioned totally different things. They had envisioned something different, but they saw the same thing. And because of the 10 and the bad reports and the bad imagination they had, they infected all the people of Israel with what they had envisioned and what they had saw, thus causing them not to be able to enter into the promised land. See, as a leader, as a pastor, as a son or daughter of God, one of our opportunities and responsibilities is to lead people into seeing what God sees. You know, in biblical counseling and discipleship, our jobs are to help people see what God sees in them. and to call that forth out of them. During these 21 days that we're on, and if you haven't started, jump in. Just jump in, get in, join us. My hope is that if you don't already have a spiritual discipline of getting in the Bible and opening the Bible up every day, that you would, because that's what this devotion 21 days is just get cracking open the Bible and discussing it and praying about it and talking to God about it and getting closer to Jesus and to see what he sees in you, because that's what the scriptures are. The word of God, according to James, is like a mirror. And that mirror is not to point out all your imperfections. It's to point out who you are. Like who you've become. You're a new creation now in Christ. Yes, and yes, it can show those things that are contrary to who you are. But here's the good news. That's on the mirror. It's not you. That's just clouding your vision of who you really are. And the blood of Jesus can wash off the dirty mirror of our conscience and of all the wrong things we put into our heads through media and bad news and the things that we've seen, right? And the things that the enemy has said about us or other people have said about us. The blood of Jesus has the power to purify. The power to clean the mirror so you can see clearly who you really are. Because we don't have sin problems as sons and daughters of God, right? We have confusion problem of who we are. We have an identity issue because we think what's on the mirror somehow is who we are. It's on the mirror. It's not who you are. And all you have to do is clean the mirror off so you can see more clearly who you are and be that person that you've been called to be. Amen? So a few other thoughts on vision. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks within himself, so he is." See, one of the greatest gifts is not the gift of sight, as I said earlier, but the gift of vision. Eyes are limited to what we can see. Vision is only limited to what you can imagine. I remember hearing and reading a story about Walt Disney. And there was somebody that it was at the grand opening of one of the new parks or something. And somebody said, "Only if Walt Disney could have seen this." And the response was, "He did. This is why you're standing in it. Because he was able to see it. He could envision it. He could envision people from all over the world coming and being encouraged and having fun. And he saw it. He envisioned it." Amen? It's a gift. It's an incredible gift. Again, sight is the function of eyes, but vision is the function of the heart. God never intended for you to live by your sight. Do you know that? He never intended for any of us to live by our sight. For he's called us to live by faith and not by sight. It's impossible to please God without faith, which means you must live by envisioning. You must live by seeing something with your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Again, let me say it again. It's worth repeating. Eyes show you what is. Your eyes show you what is. Vision shows you what could be. I love that. I get Holy Ghost goosebumps saying it because it's the truth. It's God's heart. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." See, we can all become victims of our past, good and bad. Sight captures the present, but vision captures the future. This is why even what you've envisioned about your past matters. It defines you, good and bad, doesn't it? And this is why we must let God, through the power of his blood, erase the bad past and uproot the bad harvests of things that we had envisioned and others had envisioned and others have sown into our lives and we've sown into our own lives, so that we can have a clean, fertile ground to plant new seed to receive a new harvest. We talked the last 2 weeks about sowing and the importance of that. And you go, well, wasn't this kind of in a wrong order? Shouldn't we have talked about vision and then sowing? And maybe, but I felt led to talk about sowing for 2 weeks and the importance of it. And go, you're going to need to sow something. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice something. But the greater the sacrifice that you're going to make for something, the clearer the vision you will need. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the cost of whatever it is you are envisioning, the greater the clarity will be for you to have the power and motivation to do it. This is why companies build large scale models of buildings that they're going to build. They have the blueprints. They have the blueprints. They have the vision on paper. They've written it down. They have all the technical things there. But then they spend tens of thousands of dollars to build a model of it. Right? To present it before the city, to present it before banks. Why? Because the bank is going to be investing a lot of money in that. They want to be able to see it. They want to be able to envision it. A city wants to see what it's going to look like in a city, right? And what effects is it going to have? So how much time will you take? How much will you press in to God to get his vision? And then once you get that vision, will you keep seeking him for more clarity of it? Thus tonight, the first of three of our vision nights, we're going to share, okay, what God's done, what he's doing, and what we believe God's calling him to do. We're going to share the vision so that we can run together with that vision, so that we can sacrifice together our time, our talent, our treasures together. Vision is really important. Vision is really important for short-term change and long-term change. You know, when I was a wrestler back in high school, I would go out after practice at night and run more. After practice and after all the running we'd done, I'd go out, bundle up in Michigan in the snow and go run. Because I wanted to eat, okay? So I had like a horse, I had a carrot in front of me. I was running so I could eat the carrot once I got home. But I hated to run. And the pain of cramps and the pain of running could cause you to just stop if you thought about the end destination 2 miles from now. Instead, what I learned, I think by some runners, is to find an object 100 yards in front of you. Get a vision of an object just 100 yards. Get to that object. Get a vision that I can get there. I can keep running till I get there. And then once you get close to there, get another vision for another mailbox or telephone pole or fire hydrant. Find another object. Like, this is what God does to us. Many times he'll give us a grand dream and picture, and we don't know really always the timing of that. But then he gives us short-term visions of things that we can run to, right? That can help us. I can get there. What do I have faith for to get to now? Right? And so vision can be long term, medium term, short term, but you need vision. Vision is so important. It's so critical to our lives. Because without it, Revelation or Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, my people perish." Also translate, "Where there is no vision, my people cast off restraint." See, you're not going to restrain yourself if you don't have a vision. Okay, why would I put clothes on, go out into the snow and run after having practiced and already been tired? Why would I do it? Because I had a vision for some carrots. I had some vision for some rice cakes, right? I had vision that if I go do this, I can get some food in my stomach. But without it, there's no way you're going to do it. See, so many people you hear who win championships and finish strong are people who had already envisioned themselves. They had already seen themselves there. And you go, "But Pastor, man, I might get disappointed. What if I don't get there?" Yeah, that's a risk. But what if that vision got you to the next place so that you could get a clear vision of what really God wanted? You have to be someone that can reset expectations and reset vision in real time. One of my superpowers that God's given me is the ability to reframe in real time my circumstances. I don't deny them. I don't deny that they stink at times. But I don't fix my eyes on that. I fix my eyes on the next object, the next telephone pole, the next mailbox, right? I'm not denying that, but I am fixing my eyes. I'm spinning in real time what could be. Yes, this is. I see what is, but I am spinning by the Word of God. I'm spinning by the Spirit of God what could be. Yes, there are moments, and I've learned, and I hadn't been very good, but I'm growing and maturing in taking a moment and lamenting the missed expectation, the unmet expectation. I lament, and depending on the level of expectation and what went in, determines it's the length of, right, the lamenting, okay? I mean, let me put this in perspective. You were envisioning a certain meal for dinner, and your wife cooks something totally different, okay? And you come in, and you had their unmet expectations. Okay, well, how long do you need to lament? How long do you need to cry and whine, right? I mean, let's put things in perspective. Get over it quickly. Spin it. Praise God, I have a wife, and I have a wife that cooked me a dinner that's hot. Yeah. Amen? Okay, that's called growing up and stop being a child. But if you, that is what envisioning is. You have to reset your expectation with, okay, this isn't what I was expecting. But in this moment, I'm resetting it. I'm envisioning now with this meal, enjoying it with my wife, with my kids. Amen? So vision is so important to our lives. It's super, super powerful. And yet, we don't give a lot of thinking time to what we're thinking about. Remember, Proverbs says, "As you think, so you are." So don't you think it's an important thing to actually think about what you're thinking about if it produces who you are? Yet, how much time do you actually give to it? How much time do you give to what you're thinking about. Thinking about what you're thinking about. And that's what makes us created in God's image, is that we can do that. No one else can. No other part of creation can think about what it's thinking about. But we can, and we should. Paul says, take captive every thought, everything you're thinking about that doesn't line up with Christ, with what the Bible says about you and others. Change it. You know, Lucas, Pastor Lucas did communion, and Dana's there in the front row, and when they're lovely daughters. And I remember Lucas getting saved. He was an atheist on campus and at Arizona State, and he got born again. And then he came to church, and then he saw this beautiful young lady on the worship team, and he envisioned himself getting closer to her. And what he had envisioned is, I could get closer to her if I learned how to play the guitar. And then got on the worship team. He had envisioned himself. He joined. We lived right down the road from each other when Daniel was in high school. And she would drive by our house on our way to school. And we had this 6 a.m. prayer meeting at my guest casita at my house 3 days a week. And so Lucas had envisioned, if I go to the prayer meeting and my car's parked outside at 6 a.m., Dana might see that I'm at prayer. True stories. Okay? Like, picking up a guitar and learning how to play that gets you onto the worship team doesn't happen overnight. Isn't easy. It takes work. It's hard work. But the power of vision and his envisioning, Pastor Lucas, I was telling you a story about you coming to early prayer and you wanting to get on the worship team only so you could get next to Dana, okay? And you go, well, that's just the wrong motivation. That's wrong for him to do that. Who says? The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. He found what could be a wife, and he went after it. I mean, more people, more young men, like, hello, get a job, okay? Get a job, then pursue a girl. Okay, I'm so grateful, Isabella, my oldest, like, she's like, people have been interested in her. She's like, I have zero interest in you. You've got no job. Like, she knows, she already knows. I've set her up. Like, you're going to need a lot of money to afford me, okay? And even if they have a job, they're like, that job won't be enough. Why? Because she has a vision. She has a vision, and that vision keeps her from stupid decisions. Vision keeps you from doing stupid things. So let's get to those points. That's my introduction. And you know I have long introductions and short messages. Five things. Five things envisioning does for your life. Number one, envisioning motivates your life. Envisioning motivates your life. Jeremiah 29:11, when you know that God has plans, and when you know what those plans are, and they're good ones, guess what? You get motivated. You get super motivated. You know, I realize I got to get something greater to motivate me, okay, to get up in the morning. And it's the first time we get to deny our flesh every day. I've prayed to God, God, make me a morning person. I want to be a morning person. Make me a morning. I'm just not a morning person, but I get up super early. Okay. And I fight it. I deny my flesh when I want to go just 10 more minutes snooze. That's the first moment you get to deny your flesh every day by saying, no, I'm getting out of bed. I'm getting out of bed, right? And so, but I do it. I get out of bed and I've searched, I've researched everything. I got your biorhythms. I mean, I've got every gadget imaginable to have the greatest night's sleep possible. And I sleep really well. It's just in the morning, I want to keep sleeping, okay? It's so good. It's so wonderful, okay? And so, but I get up. But what I realized, I remembered, I imagined back from ages 5 to 12, Christmas Day morning, I had no problem jumping out of bed. None. Until I reached 12 and I'm like, you know what? The gifts are still going to be there, okay? Just get another hour of sleep, right? So you just got to get a different vision. You got to get a different vision, because vision motivates your life. It motivates. Envisioning motivates your life. Number two, envisioning simplifies your life. Envisioning simplifies your life. When you know what God wants, when you know what God wants for you, when you have a clear vision, then you know this ain't helping that. You know, I was an athlete. I was an athlete, okay? Times I still envision myself as an athlete, but I realized several years ago, and this is why I don't play in the Turkey Bowl anymore, is because I'm no longer that athlete that I used to be. But when I was, because of the vision of knowing who I was, I said no to things. There was no way I was going to smoke cigarettes. There was no way I was going to do that. There was no way I was going to do a lot of things because I was an athlete. And I wouldn't do that to myself. You know, I love soldiers. I love soldiers. My dad was a soldier. He enlisted when he was 17. My oldest brother was in the military. He was in the Ranger Battalion for 8 years. I love soldiers because they understand authority. They understand. They don't start crying, you know, after basic training. I mean, during basic training, I'm sure they cry a lot, okay? When they get told to do something, they just do it. We are soldiers. And when Jesus says, this is my vision for you, we don't go, I don't like it. No, we embrace it, because if we do that one well, we get promoted to another one. And when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then we get all those other things that we want. Or He removes that want because it's really not good. Amen? Amen? So it simplifies your life. See, Martha, the story, you know the story of Mary and Martha, right? Martha's scrambling around trying to fix a meal and get the house in order for Jesus. But it's not what Jesus wants. See, so many times we're doing all these things, yet Jesus didn't ask us to do them. See, when you're doing what God's called you to do, you can have walk in perfect peace. So many times, if I'm getting anxious, it's because I'm doing things I'm not called to do. Or I'm doing things I'm called to do without Him, without His help. But the story of Mary and Martha is, Martha comes to Mary and says, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. You know, once I got freed of my man-pleasing, I'm able to say no. I'm able to say no to even the demands that people try to put on me, that God hasn't put on me. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, it's not what I want. I want you cooking. I don't want you cleaning. I want you to sit here right now. See, so many times that we are living in anxiety and all these things, it's because we're not actually doing what He's called us to do. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and like, we got to have this and this, and we bring all these things upon us that we don't have to. Amen? So envisioning what God has and wants for your lives leads to simplicity, leads to simplifying your life. Number three, envisioning guides your life. Envisioning guides your life. It guides you. See, Jesus said, gentlemen, we're getting in the boat and we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. If they would have envisioned going to the other side, then the storm wouldn't have freaked them out as much. Because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He didn't tell me all the details from this side to that side, but we're getting there because he said it. And I already imagined myself there. This is what it's envisioning, it's fixing your eyes. It guides your life. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God's word, God's vision will give you a lighted path. Number four, envisioning defines your life. Envisioning defines your life. Sweetness, will you throw me my Bible? Or hand it to me? Thank you. James chapter 1 says the word of God is like a mirror. When we get into the word, we get into seeing who we are, what God says about us, by finding out who he is. James chapter 1 says, the word is like a mirror, and not to forget what you look like when you walk away from it. We only sin when we forget who we really are. When we forget. So vision, what does vision do? Envisioning helps with what? Our definition. It helps with telling us who we are. And that leads to more motivation, more confidence, more direction of, I'm not doing this because that's not who I am. So let me get back into who I am. Living righteously, not unrighteous, right? Knowing that, knowing who you are is the real battle. Regardless of how somebody else might be treating me, that does not determine my value. Whether I'm getting respected like I should or not, does not determine my value. The love that I have in my life, that's shaky ground. But the word is solid ground. And what the word says and what you can envision from being in the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It defines you. So as you envision who you are when you're in the word, it helps define your life. Number five, last one. Envisioning gives purpose to your life. Jeremiah 32:19 says this, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and as their deeds deserve. Now, I don't know how Stephen, as he's being stoned, saw Jesus, but he saw him. I believe he saw him with a vision. An epiphany, there was an open heaven and others didn't see it, but he saw it. And he said, look, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That vision of Jesus allowed him with great joy to suffer a martyr's death of stoning. Church, we as Christians should be the greatest sufferers because our suffering has purpose. Our suffering brings glory to God. Our suffering will echo for eternity. For it was the vision and the envisioning of Jesus that caused him to have the strength to endure the cross, the beating, for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him, what would be, hallelujah, gave him the strength. So, what harvest are you envisioning? As you envision it, press in like a farmer, figure out how far should the seeds be planted apart from one another. Because based on the harvest you want is going to determine the seed that you need to plant. And the amount in which you're going to need to plant. And how you need to plant it. You need a blueprint. And he'll show you that. And he'll give you greater clarity. And then you can seek out and go to others. Hey, help me. This is my vision. Tell me, how does this work? How do I make this? Do you know? Find somebody else who may have gotten that harvested before. For the counsel of others, you'll find the wisdom of God. Amen? But vision. Vision, vision, vision. So important. Take time, church, this week as we continue our 21 days. Take time to think about what you're thinking about. Take time to imagine your vision. Imagine yourself, see yourself there. You know, if you need a new job, wake up at the time that you need to, if you got that job that you want. What is it you're asking for? Jesus asks the blind man, what do you want? What do you want? He wanted him to be able to envision what he wanted. What do you want, church? God is asking, what do you want? Some of you don't even know what you want. Well, take time and figure it out and go, God, I want what you want. What is it that you want that I want? Take time. Take this time with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you have amazing plans and purposes and visions for our lives. God, we thank you that you are good and you can be trusted. You know, if you're here today, as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you would say that, I'm ready to let Jesus take the wheel of my life. I'm ready to say, Jesus, I want to go where you want to go. I want your vision. I want yours. And I lay my vision down, even if in the end it's not what you want. I want what you want. So right now, if that's you, if you're saying, I want it, I want it, I want what he wants. Right now, I'm convinced. And right now, there's a moment of grace to say, I surrender Jesus the wheel of my life. If that's you, lift up your hand. Say, that's me. I surrender. I want to surrender. I'm taking my hands off of the wheel of my life right now, saying, Jesus, I want what you want. I want your vision right now in my life. And surrender. Just lift up your hands. Just lift them up. Just say, here they are. I take the wheel. I take my hands off the wheel, Jesus. Take my heart. Give me your vision. Give me your plans. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Those watching online, your hands are up. Lift up your hands. Pray this with me. Everyone say, Jesus, I surrender. I take my hands off the wheel of my life. I surrender to you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Forgive me of my worry, of my sin, of my fears. I receive your love. I receive your vision. I receive your dreams. I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.